In 2 Kings chapter number 22 and verse number 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did, notice verse 2, this is important, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. I want to read verse number 2 one more time, please. This is very important. What a testimony. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Not in the sight of men or in organizations, but he did that which is in the sight of the Lord. Amen. That's good, isn't it? And walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Now turn over to chapter 23 and let's look at one verse in verse number 25, and God reveals something else about the young man. Verse 25, chapter 23, 2 Kings. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. What a testimony. And let's look and see what happened to him. Let's pray first. Our Father, we do thank you for the privilege of prayer. We come before your presence, Lord, with thanksgiving. And Lord, we come to you with a humble heart. And then, Lord, with a heavy heart, asking you that you might touch us as we begin to preach and endeavor to bring forth the word of God. I pray you might anoint my lips to speak for the glory of God. Hide us, Lord, for the next little while in the word of God and through the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, you'd bring forth the message that you might be praised and lifted and exalted. May the word of God find a lodging place in the hearts of these people. May the touch of God be upon us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to look at this man called Josiah. If you look at him, he started when he was 8 years old as being king. That's mighty young. And the Bible said that he reigned for a little portion of time, just a portion of time of 31 years. So we find in later portions of this word of God that he died when he was 39. Just a young man, but he made a big impact upon the world. And some things that happened. I want to look at this. The Bible gives us a recording that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. It also said that he would not turn or was not turned to the right nor to the left. He made a straight path for the glory of God. And the Bible also said that he was none like him, and not before him or after him. He had a good testimony. But I want to go into thought and tell you it wasn't because he was raised that way. A lot of times we think that if you got good raising, you're going to have a good outcome. And I'll tell you what, I'll trust the Word of God in a home and in life of individuals to raise children over anything. Amen. I'll put the Bible over Dr. Spock. I'll put the Bible over Christian psychology. I'll put the Bible over any theologian. I'll put the Bible over anybody. Amen. Over any parent in this world. You put the Bible, brother, over it all, and the Bible is going to mature your children and bring them to the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Nothing else will work, but you've got to get it in them. Amen. But I want to show you His daddy. If you go back with me in just a minute in chapter number 21, in verse number 20, you'll find his daddy, the daddy of Josiah. It said, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. Now his granddaddy and his daddy were doing that which is evil, and displeased the Lord God. In verse number 21, it said, and he walked in all the way that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers and walked not in the way of the Lord. Now that was Josiah's daddy. Josiah's daddy was a bad man. Josiah's daddy never got right with God. Josiah's daddy never laid any kind of biblical background upon his family. And brother, he did that which is wrong in the sight of God. Did that which is evil and walked away from the Lord. So you wonder, how did this young man get to where he was? I'll tell you, to get him started right, to look at this thing. And then I want to go to one more point and then we'll come back to something. I get so tired of this crowd today just getting the idea that just because you're young, you don't have a right or you're legal not to do anything for God. Youth don't have anything to do for living for God. Amen. Do you hear me? Amen. Paul told Timothy, he said, despise not thy youth. Brother, I believe you serve God when you're young. We got in a society in a day today that we believe that young people just do what they do because they're young people and they got to sow their wild oats. Brother, I want you to know the Bible teaches us that we ought to prepare our hearts and live after God. And you live after God if you're 5, 10, 20, or 25, or 9, or 12. Say amen. And I believe we ought to teach him to live right. Now this boy wasn't taught. Somehow I begin to wonder, well, why? Why did he live right if he wasn't taught that way? And I get to thinking, I question things and try to look at the Word of God. I like to have a Word of God answer for it. So look in the Word of God. Do I find anything there? I didn't see where it said anything about his mama being right. Didn't say anything about his cousins or his uncles being right. Well, I believe they followed the footsteps of all those. He probably come out of a bad family, and he did. According to the Word of God, Josiah come out of a bad family. And to be 8 years old and be king, how in the world would he know how to do what's right? And I want to tell you why I believe, and I want to show you this. It was only until he had been reigning for 18 years before he ever really started doing any good things and good deeds for the Lord, even though his heart was right and tender while he was young. Now, I believe an 8-year-old child can live good for God. Say amen. You may not believe that, but I got the scripture on it that Josiah did that which is right, and he's only 8 years old. Amen. Now you won't argue the Word of God, will you? Amen. Now we look at what he said. You say, well, how in the world do you think he ended up doing what's right? I believe it's because some responsibility was placed upon him. Bear with me a minute. And this may be deosology, but I believe it's good theology today this morning if we just study it. He had the responsibility of being king when he was 8 years old. We are living in a society today that kids don't have no responsibility. No responsibility is placed upon the kid. They can tear the house up like a hog lot, and they're not even respectful enough to pick it up, and they're not made to clean it up. No responsibility. They can crush. I've stood at the door of this church here and other churches. Years gone by and days gone by. I've had them to come, and kids, would I've had them put their foot on my foot and their foot on my foot, on my toes, and grind them down. And that's not respectful. I've had them just pinch me and do sort of things of that nature. And you say, why? Now, I know nobody in here in this building's done that. Then I'm going to tell you about it. But what I'm saying, I've had that to happen in days past. Why does that happen? Because they've not been taught to respect the things of God. And they haven't been given no responsibility. Brother, I believe kids ought to be given the responsible jobs. They ought to have responsible actions at home. I don't care how little they are. They ought to be made to do certain things. I believe mamas, you take your little kids, your little girls, about the time they get up big enough, I don't care, they'll make a mess, but teach them how to make biscuits at a young age. Teach them how to cook a little bit. Teach them how to clean the house up. Let them make their beds up. Let them sweep the floor. Let them vacuum a little bit. Hey, they're not a little king set on pedestals, a little queen set on pedestals. You need to teach them to be a good wife or a good husband down the road. Now, I ain't saying mama ought to teach the boys how to make biscuits. But daddy ought to take him under his wing and give him some responsibility. My daddy had some responsible things for me to do. And if I didn't get them done, I paid the price. Now we're living in a day when kids and junior don't even know how, he don't even have to take the trash out. He said the trash comes up over his eyes and it stinks like a hog pen, and he don't even have to budge. Mom and Daddy do the job for him. Amen. That's where we're living. And he had they have no responsibility. Josiah had some responsibility. Responsibility will put you down to it. Responsibility will let you see you got to do something. And it'll make you make decisions. If you don't have no responsibility when you get grown, you're still expecting everybody to hand it to you. That's what we're living in a society today. We're living in an age now that people have done grown from kids. They got up. They wasn't responsible. Home didn't have to do nothing. Mama waited on them. Daddy waited on them. They were just kids in the house, didn't have to do nothing. They tore up everything and they run here and went there and done what. Listen, if you don't have no kind of curfews and have no kind of control on your children, I'll assure you when they get grown, they're going to expect to have a handout from society. You hand it out to them all their days and they expect everybody's got to hand it out. And then when they go down to get a job, they won't stay on the job. They won't work there long enough. They don't want to work. But I'll tell you what, you couldn't find a job easy enough for them. We're living in that day. If you don't believe it, you go talk to some of the employers in our county. You talk to some of the employers in this state. Talk to employers all across the country. They're having problems of finding somebody that'll work. I went into a place the other day. I was kind of in a hurry. I wanted to get me a little biscuit to eat for breakfast. And I went in there, and I was in a hurry. I know better than go in there in a hurry. And that fella, he went back there, and he's young. I got bad knees. And I have a hard problem walking. I understand that. You get a little age on you, amen. But this fella was a young punk. I mean young. He looked like his spunk had done gone, though. It done left him. And he come walking through. His britches about to, well, I guess if he had walked any faster, his pants had fell off. But anyhow, he walked on up there real slow. I thought I was going to have to help him with my arm pick up the bag he had to set up on the counter to give to me. And then I give him change, and give him the money, and he's making change. I thought that money was going to break his arm before he got it back over across the county, the poor little weakling. We're living in a society today that hasn't had no responsibility. Mama's done everything for them. Daddy's done everything for them. And then when they get grown, they have no responsibility. They can't make no decisions for themselves. Well, I'll get off of that. After I done tore it up, that's enough, I guess. But I believe we see that this boy had some responsibility. And then look in verse number 2, or verse 33 of chapter 22. Point out something about him. It said in verse 3, and it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying. It was after 18 years of being king that he actually put to practice what he believed. I guess I can credit that to his youth to some degree. A lot of times we think while we're young we can't make the stands, and maybe, I don't know, but I will say this, for 18 years he had an example and he lived an example before them. As king, they might not have had much respect for him for those first 18 years. I don't know of many folks that want to live under and take the advice of an 8-year-old boy. Would you imagine having an 8-year-old man in the White House? I don't imagine we want to. Listen, we got one that's grown and got good sense and nobody wants to listen to him. But imagine an 8-year-old boy. Here he is, he's the king. And they're not paying him much attention. For 18 years he lives a consistent life. For 18 years, he's living true to God. For 18 years, he's doing that which is right in the sight of God. For 18 years, he's treating everybody right. For 18 years, he's an example. And they look at him and said, that is a good king. I'm supposing that's what they're saying about him. So at the 18th year, he decides he's going to do a few things. So don't discredit your youth. He's an example. So what he done is he told him, said, you go out yonder and we're going to do something. First of all, he fell in love with the house of God. Everybody needs to fall in love with the house of God. Everybody needs to be drawn to the house of the Lord. I met a little boy one day running. He was skipping down the road. I was passing out tracks from door to door. He come down the road just a skipping. I stopped and I said, hey, young man, let me give you something. I gave him a track and I said, let me ask you where you go to church. And he said, well, of course, I always use that for open door. I was going to get down to the business, find out if he's saved just a minute. But anyhow, I gave him that track. I said, where you go to church? He said, well, we don't go to church. Said, we worship over in our house. Said, we believe we can worship at home just as good as we can anywhere else. And I said, that's not right. The Bible said, not forsaking them, assembling yourselves together as a man or some is. I believe we ought to assemble ourselves together somewhere at the house of God. We ought to get to the place where we love the house of God. And Josiah began to love it. He loved it so much that he said, I want you to go down and find all the money that's been brought into this thing. Go down and talk to the high priest. Go down and talk to him. Get all the monies that's been brought into that thing. And then I want you to take it. I want you to take that money. I want you to give it to the carpenters and to the masons. And that's not the Masonic lodge. But he said, give it to those who lay the block and lay the lumber. And give it to the timber makers and those who are cutting the timber and those who are remodeling and all that. Then let them fix up the house of God one more time. So that's what they did. But notice in verse number 7, howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand because they dealt faithfully. They didn't even have to make sure. You know why? This king had lived for 18 years in front of them and he lived a life of example. He had taught them how to live. They'd looked at him. Brother, down there at the house of God, you can't say that in an average house today. You give the money to a bunch of carpenters, give the money to... They didn't have to make them give account for every penny. Amen. In this modern day, you give people money, you got to have a receipt back for it if it's in the Lord's work. In this modern day, say amen. But in that day, they lived faithfully unto God. I believe they took the example of that little old king for 18 years. Something's going on good in the land.
Amen.
The framework is being set. Now let's go a little bit further. First of all, I believe he gave attention to the house of God. I believe he gave priority to it in his attention in trying to upkeep it and keep it going. I found out this one thing, brother. People who love the house of God will do all they can to keep it up and to keep it going and keep it like it ought to be. Say amen. I believe everybody that loves the house of God will try to frequent the house of God every time the doors is open and try to get there. You make the church a priority in your life and it'll change you. Now, I'll notice one other thing about this boy. We're going to get deeper into this in a minute. I'm laying the framework and the groundwork. Guess what happened? They went down there and they found the book of the Lord, which is the type of the Word of God. They didn't have a full canon of the Word of God like you and I have this morning, but they had a portion of it. God has always had a portion of His Word, hadn't He? They had a portion of it in the Old Testament. Had a portion of it in the New Testament. Thank God we got them all beat. We got a full copy of it. Somebody said, what about them lost books? What lost books? What you talking about? I get irritated these folks got to find something else to add to the Word of God. We got a full canon. I believe God has preserved exactly what we've got. We don't need to add no more to it nor take anything away from it. We got enough right now to get it. Somebody said, what about them lost books? Don't worry about them lost books. Amen. If you call them lost books, they're not there. But I'm telling you this morning, I've got enough to get me in trouble without having to worry about that I don't have. The preserved Word of God. I believe God preserved it just like He wanted it preserved.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Yeah. I believe it's preserved just like He wanted it preserved. We got it this morning. Don't need nothing else. Well, they sent them down there to see what happened. And just on coincidence, Hilkiah the high priest and Shaphan the scribe said, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Now, when the high priest began to read that, the Shaphan brother, it stirred him up. And he come running back up to the king. He said, King, guess what? We found the book of God. We found the book of God. Well, notice what happened in verse 11. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. He got tore out of frame. I want to tell you this morning, brother, we ought to get the right attitude toward the Word of God. We ought to get the right attitude according to the law of God, the Word of God. Amen. We ought to be like this man. Brother, after he found out there was a book of the law, there was a book of the Lord, the next thing he wanted to do was inquire into it. Brother, we need to develop a hunger for the Word of God. If you're saved by the grace of God, and brother, you've got the place that the Word of God's grown cold, indifferent to you, you ought to come down the altar, call upon God, ask God to forgive you. And if you don't have a real hunger, never had a real hunger for the Word of God, come down and ask God to save you, and then you'll have a hunger for the Word of God. If you're not careful, the devil will take that book away from you. He'll put it over the side. It'll grow cold, and things of interest in this world start popping up. You'll start running after this and running after that. You don't have no time for the Word of God. You better get rid of all that junk that's tying you down. You better get rid of everything that's got you down to the place that you can't give time to the Word of God. You better pick you up a Bible and start reading the Word of God. You better bury your nose into it. You're going to wish you had down the road. Brother, times are getting rough. They're going to get rougher. I'm telling you, you better get in the Word of God.
Amen. That's right.
Brother, the king was troubled. He said, we got a book of the law. And he developed a love for the Word of God. He got a hunger for it. And then he said, I want you to go find out some more about it. Brother, isn't that the way it works? When you find out and when you get right with God, you find out there's a Word, you find out there's a truth. I'll tell you right now, you'll hunger after the Word of God. You don't have a hunger for it. You've got a spiritual problem. You need to get it settled this morning. I'm hungry for the Word of God. Don't you? The Bible said if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. The Word of God will fill us this morning. We have to have a hunger for it. We need a hunger. You know why people are not hungry for the Word of God? They're so full of the things of the world, they're not hungry anymore. Material possessions, material things, temporal things have taken their mind and heart away from God, and they have no hunger for the Word of God anymore. But the Word of God is important to you and me. Brother, we ought to have the right way of the Word of God in our heart. So then he inquired on it. He sent and had some more message, or had some more found out about it. But notice in verse number 19, what happened? In chapter number 22, you'll find what happened after he hungered and sought after the Word of God. Here came the message, because thine heart was tender, thou hast humbled yourself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord, and God made him a promise. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Amen. The word came back to him, because you wept, because you had a desire for the Word of God, and because you're changing garments. In other words, you repented, because he'd got the place and the Word of God had tore him up. Brother, he rent his clothes, a type of repenting before God. God said, I'll let you die in peace. Hey, folks, let me tell you something this morning. Just take this for what it's worth. Somebody told me this week, one of the men I know in this county, known him for years and years, died. He said about 2 weeks ago, he found out he had cancer. Died in 2 weeks. Somebody said, boy, that's awful quick. I said, isn't that good? Up toward 80 years old. I said, hey, if I'm going to get cancer, that's about the way I want to go. Let her go, brother, to the right thing. Went to the doctor 20 years ago, found out he had cancer. Then I'd give him all them treatments for maybe 2 years ago. All his hair come out. He'd been miserable for living for the last 2 years, but he lived for 2 weeks, amen, in misery. But God let him die in peace.
Yeah.
You stay with God, and God will let you die in peace. Stay with the Word of God, brother. It means a whole lot. I don't want my life to be in a turmoil and uproar all the days of my life. Amen. But did you see what happened? He was willing then to receive the Word of God. There's people in our churches in America, they want to hear things that soothe in their ears, but they do not want to receive what the man of God says. The preacher can preach till he's blue in the face. They'll pay him no attention. They let it go over their head. They just let it run off like water on a duck's back. They pay no attention to the man of God. You need to be willing to hear what God says. He was willing. He's a king and he's willing. Then I want to notice something else about this man. Makes good sense. Chapter number 23 and verse 1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord. And all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. Then he began to proclaim and read the word of God. He sought after it. He believed it. He trusted it. He bowed before it. Now he's taken up the word of God and began to read it. Folks, I want to tell you, you need to get you a copy of it and read it and read it and read it and read it again. Then when he started reading it, that's when she all started. Now we got it out of line. We got it all laid out now. Got it up where we can see it. Let's get it. He had an evil daddy, put in responsibility at a young age, lived before him for 18 years, then just got to inquire and check it into some things, sent and had him to check out the house of God. When they got down the house of God, they put the money into it and kind of repaired it, got it going, found the word of the Lord. When they found the word of the Lord, guess what? Now you said, why did it take him that long? Remember, he had an evil father that forsook God and it done run him off. Here's a boy raised up in the family didn't know anything about God. You hearing me? Sometimes it takes a little longer for some of us when we ain't heard. Some of you, you've been on the church pew since you've been a little whippersnapper, amen. Some of you cut your teeth on the church pew. And there's no excuse for you. You are no better by now. But there's some folks out there hadn't never been. They don't know. It takes them a little longer. Especially when there ain't a spiritual or religious atmosphere around you. When there are worshiping idols and false gods and false religions. It's hard to come out of that. Brother, but this boy for 18 years, somehow he found the truth. Now he's got the house of God right. He inquired about the word of God. Found out what God promised. He repented, called upon God, got him a Bible, and began to read the same law of God. In the temple, in the house of God. You hear me? And then he sat down and started reading it. Well, when he started reading the Word of God, here's what happens. And I'll promise you, if you ever start reading the Word of God, some of this is going to clean up in your life too. I can tell you right now, church members who do not do that, if they don't read the Word of God, I know where their life's headed. If they don't accept the Word of God, I know where they're going to. I'm not talking about the hell. I'm talking about saved people now. I know where their life is going. Lost people, I know where they're going. They're going to hell without God. You hearing me? The Word of God is what turns you in the right direction. So I begin to read. In verse number 3, it said, "And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord." Now, covenant, you know what a covenant is? It's an agreement. He began to promise God something. So he said he made a covenant before the Lord to do two things. Number one, to walk after the Lord. And number two, to keep the commandments and his testimonies. He made a covenant to God. He said, God, I promise you, I'm going to walk before the Lord and I'm going to keep your promises or keep your word and your commandments. You hearing me? He made a covenant. You start reading the word of God and it won't be long till you'll start making some covenants with God. You know what's wrong with people? The reason they don't have no promise, no covenants between them and God, no agreement. In other words, how can you walk together with God anyhow unless you agree with God? But once you were reading His Word, you begin to agree with Him and you start making some covenants. You start making some agreements between you and God. And you promise God what you're not going to do, what you are going to do. And you'll stay with that. If you'll stay with the Word of God, you'll stay with your covenant and you'll stay with your promises. By the way, this morning, you need to read the Word of God to make covenants unto the Lord. That's the first thing that happened in his life. His covenant was to walk after the Lord. Ain't too much bad with that, are they? You see anything wrong with that? To walk after the Lord, and secondly, to keep his commandments? The second thing he done, after he started reading the Word of God, is he started cleaning up things. Isn't that the way the Word of God is? I done found out these jackleg folks in the church live like the devil, smell like the world. I guarantee you what they need to do is get in the Word of God and let the Word of God start cleaning their life up. They're not in the book. The more you get in that book, the cleaner your life will be. The more you get in that book, you'll find out how ugly and how awful, how dirty and how miserable and how evil you are. The more you get in that book, God will begin to show you your faults and your failures. He'll begin to show you what you ought to do and what you ought not to do. And God will take that word and start cleaning you up, but you've got to get in it first. It works out every time. I don't care whether you're in the Old Testament or New Testament, this will work. What I'm preaching this morning will work. You get in the Bible. You get in the Word of God. You start inquiring. You start reading. You start studying. You don't start taking everybody's word for it. You start studying the Word of God, and it'll start doing some things. The first thing he done is he made a covenant. Secondly, started cleaning up. Verse number 4. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priest of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. The first thing you'll do after you've made an agreement with God and started burying your head in the Word of God, the first thing you'll start doing is kicking out the idols in your life. Amen. Kick out the idols. Get rid of anything that's going to take your time. Going to kick out anything that's going to take all your heart away. You're going to kick out the idols. You're going to get rid of them. That's what he done. He went down there and tore down the idols of Baal. He tore down everything everybody's worshiping. Got down there and burnt them up. Got the ashes and put them over the graves. You hear me? You'll start getting rid of them little old silly idols in your life. You'll find out, and I've had all kinds of hobbies, I've had all kinds of interests in life. My wife will tell you that, my kids will tell you that, but I'll tell you what, if you ever get sold out to God, most of that's going to jump out the window and get away. You're going to find out there's not much to do that, and it's just vanity. Amen, get rid of it. Bury your head in the book, it'll show you what you need to do. Amen. These football players put their trophies in their trophy case and they idolize that and they worship that and they're so proud of those things. I'm telling you what, they get right with God, they'll quit worrying about them little old things. You can say what you want to. All these trophies we got hung up on our walls and everything else that we won, these awards and all that, they can become idols, and most of the time are idols to us anyhow. It showed what we've achieved and what we've done. You said, I don't agree with that. I can't help it this morning. Brother, you put anything between you and God, I'll guarantee you it's an idol. Amen. Won all this, got these little trophies and all that, the next thing you know is your head will glow up. Look what I won. If you're not careful, you'll worship them. It's got to be pretty fancy when you go get a fancy case and put them in it. Spend money for that. Amen. You hearing me? Little trophies. Those become idols. The first thing you done is to throw the idols out. Second thing you done. Verse 5, and he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and the moon and the planets and to all the hosts of heaven. The second thing he done is he got rid of the false prophets and the bad preachers. Got them out of there. I'll tell you what will happen to you when you get in the Word of God. You put them idols out. The second thing you do, you'll quit running. You'll quit trying to listen to that little deadbeat crowd that don't tell you nothing. Amen. Benny Hinn won't have nothing to give you because he ain't got nothing to give. Good life. Maybe that's right. You hearing me? You quit running after some of these Dobson crowds and all that bunch. Got this little sued over gospel. You quit running. You know why? Because the Word of God will shed light in your life on what they really are. You know why people run and hobnob with this bunch of liberals? Run up and down the road with this bunch that don't believe anything, won't preach anything. I'll tell you why. They haven't come to the light of the knowledge of the truth in the Word of God. The Word of God will put the light on them.
That's right.
The only way, I said the other day, you can realize a truth from a counterfeit is to compare the real with it. You put the Word of God on it, it shines a light on it. If it don't line up with the Word of God, so what he done? He went out there and got rid of the false prophets and the bad priest. Third thing he done, verse 7, he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord where the women were hanging. Where the women wove hangings for the grove. Got rid of the Sodomites. He put the homosexuals out of the land. Now America will never be what she ought to be if she puts them out. And I realize what I'm saying this morning can be detrimental to me. The statements I make from this pulpit. But homosexuality is an abomination in the sight of God. Homosexuality is not an alternate lifestyle, it's sin to the core. And Sodomites are going to hell without God unless they get saved through the blood, and then they will not be Sodomites anymore. For a land to embrace them, for a land to accept them, for a land to let it just be like nothing's ever happened, and to take a non-care thought about it, I'll tell you, is detrimental to the health of the nation. And this nation's going down the tube because of that kind of ungodliness going on. This boy got right. You know why he saw it? He got in the Word of God. And the Word of God will show you those things. I know they will want to call me a hate group and call me that I don't care, but I tell you what, I love every Sodomite. And I mean that from a spiritual standpoint. They need God, and I want to do all I can to preach to them, and that's why I'm preaching what I'm preaching now. I want to tell them the truth. I'll never put my arm around them and say, keep up the good work. You ain't doing no good work. I'll tell them they need to get saved. Just like a harlot and a drunk. A drunkard won't be a drunkard anymore when he gets saved. A harlot won't be a harlot anymore when she gets saved. They'll be born again children of God. Their lifestyle changes. I'm here to tell you, you've got to lay it like it is, preach it like it is, and the Word of God is straight and strong. And brother, we'll see there needs to be a cleaning up. So he got rid of the Sodomites. Now we could preach all day on that and stay there, but we're not going to. Amen. Somebody said, you just beat a dead horse to death. Well, the thing about this horse ain't dead. I'm still a working on it. Amen. You'll catch that in a minute. Go on. Another thing he done is in verse number 24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away. He got rid of the wizards and the witches and the evil forces. He cleansed up the land. So much said for that. I'm telling you, upon the authority of the Word of God, when you get in the Word of God, you will start doing what's right. It'll first of all affect your life, and then secondly, it'll affect those around you, because you'll start doing things that you didn't do before. You'll quit doing things you are doing. And brother, you'll start cleaning up your act when you get in the Word of God. Now, when you find church members living like the world, they're not in the Word of God. They may be lost, probably are. But if they are saved, they're not in the Word. There are some other reasons, but I won't get into that. Let's look at something else. The next thing he done is in verse number 21. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as is written in the book of this covenant. The next thing he done is, after he put down the idols and got rid of all those things and started cleaning up things, the next thing he done is he brought the blood back. He said, you keep the Passover. The Passover in the Old Testament is a type, putting the blood over the side and down the side and top of the door, which is a type of the blood of Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, who came and bled on Calvary for you and me. So what happened to Josiah when he got in the Word of God? He said, we're going back on the blood. We're going to get it back on the blood. We're living in a society today that people do not want the blood. They've taken it out of the song books. They've taken it out of their perverted Bibles. And I'll tell you, I don't have any time for anybody that can take the blood out of anything. Amen! Any book they take the blood out of, I'm against it. Amen. That's the reason I'm against perverted Bibles. That's the reason I'm where I'm at this morning. I stay with what I've got, because it brings up and brings forth the blood of Jesus Christ. Without shedding of blood, there's no remission. Here's an old blood bought, blood washed, born again child of God. I'm not ashamed of the blood. I've been to the fountain and been made clean. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Brother, I'm glad as a sinner I plunged myself beneath the flood, and now, thank God, I'm free and saved by His marvelous grace through the blood. Hallelujah. That gets me excited. Thank God for the blood. I despise anything that takes the blood out. You got right. I want to point out a couple, three more things about Josiah, and we'll go to the house. Verse 29, please. He not only brought back the blood, but in verse 29, in his days, Pharaoh Necoch, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went against him, and he slew him at Megiddo when he had seen him. Josiah died in the battle. The age of 39. Beloved, I want to say, if there's anything to it, I want to mean this. I want to stay hitched and die in the battle. The only alternative to dying in the battle is just quitting and getting out of it. When my life is snuffed out one of these days and I'm called over to glory, I want to be in the battle. I don't want to be put on the shelf and decide I was going to get out and quit. No, sir. I want to be in the battle. Josiah, you said he lost his life. Sure, he lost his life. But he died in the battle. I want to stay hitched. Now, the bad thing about it is, in verse number 32 of chapter 23, it said, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all his fathers had done. Who is that? Jehoahaz, which is the son of Josiah. They made him king. His father and his grandfather were evil, and his son was evil. you go back and read, you'll find out that his son was taken into Egypt and died down there. Egypt's a type of the world. If you go back and read, his father was assassinated. But Josiah died in the battle. You hear me? So it goes to show me, I don't care. Don't you blame your mama and your daddy, your grandpa and your grandma for the rotten life you've got. Because you done heard the truth. You heard it this morning. It's high time to come out of it. So I said, when I just raised this way, don't give me that junk. You got the Word of God. I realize if a child's raised in a drunkard's home, they'll probably end up being as the chances are they will. But they don't have to. I watched my daddy. They pull him out of the street, daring to get him, to run him over. He is as drunk as he can be. My mama would, on hands and knees, he'd crawl back to the house. She'd pull at him. She couldn't pick him up. He couldn't walk. She'd turn her back and he'd be back out in the street. I watched my daddy, as a little bitty boy, stay drunk. And then God saved him and changed him. My brothers, my sister, never saw Dad like that. I thank God they didn't. I remember it. They wasn't old enough to remember it. But I thank God after all these years, I've never tasted a drop of alcohol. I reckon I can go to my grave without it.
Amen.
Don't blame it on how it was back yonder. We are free moral agents. We can choose. We can do right or we can do wrong. I don't care if you're 15 years old. You can do right or you can do wrong. You got sense enough to write your name. You can do right. You can do wrong. It's your choice. I want to do right. Heads bowed and eyes closed.